Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the radio station CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia. This is a weekly punk rock show. We all fall down. My name is Tim. And welcome to the show, my friends. We just heard a song by my favorite band ever in the history of my music. It was a song by the band NoFX. It was a song called Linoleum, a classic hit from the classic album which came out back in 1994. And it's called Punk in Droblik. That was the name of the album. Today I am excited and I played this song because tomorrow and on Saturday, the NoFX, my favorite band, they're playing two shows in Vancouver at the Commodore Ballroom. Both shows are sold out and it's going to be a great, great, great event. And today I'll be doing the whole radio show focused on these two upcoming shows. NoFX are playing with Old Man Markley and Teenage Bottle Rocket, and I'll try if everything works well and technical part is working. We'll try to do the interview with Old Man Markley and Teenage Bottle Rocket today on the show, and I'll play you those bands, and I obviously play you some NoFX for you. So yeah, that was a song, Linoleum, and a little bit later on the show I'll play you some other hits by NoFX. But let's start with Old Man Markley. We'll do as I normally do. I'll play you some songs and then we'll do the phone interviews with the bands. We'll start with Old Man Markley and then I'll play you some Teenage Bottle Rocket and we'll do the interview with Teenage Bottle Rocket over the phone. Alright, let's start with Old Man Markley. I'll play you some songs and then we'll try to organize the interview if the phone is working properly. So I'd like to play you a song called For Better For Worse from the first album by Old Man Markley called Guts and Teeth. So let's listen. This is Old Man Markley on the punk rock show We All Fall Down.
For better, for worse, love's a blessing, love's a curse. She's an angel, I'm just a man. And I'll always love her till I can't stand.
Blessing, love's a I say I'm not that loving kind of man? How come you love me like you do, do, do? How come you love like you do?
You're listening to the radio show We All Fall Down on 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, and we just heard a couple songs by the old man Mark Lee, and I have the guys on the line. Can you hear me? Hello. Hello, can you hear me? Sorry, excuse me.
Yeah, I can hear you great.
Oh, awesome. Sorry, it was a little bit technical problem.
Okay.
First time I've heard the Old Man Mark Lee back in 2009 on the compilation Let Them Know, and you did the cover of Youth Brigade song We're In, and that was a new sound for me, and I liked it a lot. And then I found this EP by your band called Whiskey Drenched Bluegrass, and it had mm-hmm. a different version of Do Me Like You Do. It was interesting to hear this version on the album. It was a new sound for me. How did you come up with this interesting mix of bluegrass and rock and roll punk rock music?
Well, it was it essentially started with the core group within the band who come from sort of a punk background. A lot of the people in the band mm-hmm. have been playing in various punk bands for over the last decade. But we hooked up with some other people who come from a bluegrass background. Now, I'm the banjo player in the band, mm-hmm. and I've been playing bluegrass banjo, you know, for a long, long time, ever since I was a kid. Katie Weed, our fiddler, has also been playing bluegrass fiddle for a really long time. So we're the two people who sort of come from a folk bluegrass
uh-huh, right.
background. And it was really just kind of, it was just something that sort of came together when we just all met up. I think Johnny Carey, the lead singer of the band, was kind of looking to sort of try something different. And he hooked up with Katie and eventually me, and it just sort of morphed into this hybrid, which is essentially what you hear now on the album. It's kind of, you know, a punk bluegrass sort of combination.
So it's your background plus your just personal connection that you found among the members of the band.
Right. Yeah, and it's a great mix. I mean, I played in a lot of bluegrass bands. I've never played in a band. I played in bands that played other stuff besides bluegrass as well, but. It is the first time I've ever played in this kind of mix, and it's fantastic. Because as a banjo player, you know, even if you're among like the top five greatest banjo pickers in the country, you're not going to ever be exposed to as many people playing as we are. Because you know, the punk draw is huge in this band. We play for a lot of punk audiences. We're on tour right now with NOFX opening for them. Mm-hmm. So you know, we're really exposing this music to a lot of people who otherwise would never hear it, and you know, are not people necessarily who ever listen to banjo music or you know bluegrass
yeah.
at all.
Yeah, and Vancouver is excited to see because you're playing two nights and opening for NOFX, and I think it's for your band as the first time playing in Vancouver. Is it correct?
Yeah, this is our first time playing in Vancouver. We're going to be playing at the Commodore for two nights.
You just mentioned that playing for the audience, you have this unique and very interesting mix, and I never heard this type of music before. Like, I heard like bluegrass and punk rock, obviously different, but this is a new sound for me. For you as a band, does it help you to know to apply your music to different type of crowds, not only maybe punk rock crowd?
Absolutely, yeah. The more people who get to hear our music, the better. You know, it's all about broadening our audience, you know.
Right.
We do play for a lot of punk audiences, but we also do shows, like we're doing a festival in Northern California towards the end of this tour, which is it's not a punk audience at all. So it's great to play for all sorts of audiences,
right.
And we're comfortable in both audiences too, because we're such a hybrid that, you know, we're comfortable among the hardcore punk fans as well as, you know, bluegrass and folk fans and fans of roots and Americana music.
Right. That's what's interesting for me when I heard the first time the band. Your first album came out on Fat Records, and you know, actually I found out that from the girl's Twitter. Her name is Nubs. She's from Toronto, and she actually tweeted something like that: one of the best live bands and one of the best punk rock bands right now is finally signed to one of the best record labels. How did that happen? Because Fetrac is definitely one of the leading record labels right now in the music, not only in punk rock. How did it happen for you, and how are you finding being on this amazing record label?
How did it happen? Well, that connection came through Johnny, our lead singer. He has played with Yuki and Joey, our bass player, also playing Youth Brigade.
Yeah, right. And then,
you know, a punk band that's been around for decades.
Yeah, legendary band.
And, yeah, and essentially the connection came via those two guys. Fat Mike became aware of the album, and people, friends of his, were trying to get him to listen to it, and he finally did, and he was really interested in what he heard. So we had a meeting with him, and that's essentially how that came about. It's great being on Fat Records, because, like I said, it's such a great opportunity to bring bring music that otherwise wouldn't be heard by, you know, this cross section of people, you know, and to play to the audiences that are so much bigger than just a typical bluegrass or folk fan base.
This new album, Guts and Teeth, it was recorded by Joby Ford from LA band The Bronx. And how was this experience working with Joby? And did you pick him because of his involvement in Mariachi El Bronx? Is there some connection?
Yeah, Johnny is friends with Joby. They go back years. So that was the connection with Joby and how he was selected to produce that album. It was great working with him. He's a fantastic producer. It was the first time I'd ever recorded with him, and he just made the experience so pleasurable, and put me at ease and everybody at ease, and it was just a fantastic experience, especially for me, having, I had just come into the band at that point. I'd only been in the band probably, you know, not even 6 months, so I was sort of a new kid on the block. But it was, he just made it such an easy experience, and it was just fun recording with him.
Yeah, because when I saw that he recorded this album, I know Mariachi El Bronx, and I know how many instruments does he play, like all these interesting weird instruments, and
sure.
Like, I think he has this vision, and then he knows the sound.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he definitely thinks outside the box. I mean, he's got his mariachi band that he plays in as well. I think he plays the guitarron in that band. But yeah, so he's definitely someone who's good at sort of thinking outside the box musically, and someone who's definitely not afraid to kind of push the boundaries in that respect.
You've been on the tour with NOFX for, I think, the most part of this year, and I have this question, maybe it's a weird one, but I know there's lots of people in the band. Like, I know there's 8 of you, from what I know. How is the logistics of the band working, and logistics of touring actually working? How is it, like, tough for you to, is a big band to tour?
It's not tough. Actually, we were a much bigger band a few years ago. We started with 11 people.
Whoa.
Now we're down to 8. It can get tricky, but we've really kind of hit our stride with regard to, you know, to dealing with that many people. We've got a bus that sleeps all 8 of us. We have an old converted Seattle city bus that we renovated. The interior sleeps not 8 people. We've got bunks, kind of like a little submarine. So it's definitely not the kind of situation where we're, you know, we're walking all over each other. The bus is really comfortable. Logistically, as far as playing, you know, we've played on very small stages before, but we're always able to accommodate everybody. But I think it's because we've done, you know, we've toured a lot and we've kind of gotten used to it. But as far as instrumentation goes, my gosh, we got Alex, a mandolin player, Katie, a fiddler, me on banjo, Joey on washtub bass. We've got Aaron on drums, Danny on auto harp, Johnny our lead singer. So yeah, it can get tricky at times, but we're good at dealing with that kind of stuff. So for us it's nothing too, you know, too hard.
Okay, thank you so much for the interview. Thank you so much for finding time. Thanks for finding this time to talk to me.
No problem. Thank you for getting in touch with us.
Thanks, Noah. Vancouver, excited to see Oldman Markley first time in Commodore Ballroom tomorrow and the day after tomorrow.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, looking forward to seeing you.
Thank you so much, and I'll see you tomorrow and the day after.
Okie doke. Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, sorry. So that was the interview with Oldman Markley. As I mentioned earlier, as we talked, Oldman Markley, Teenage Bottle Rocket, and NoFX played two shows tomorrow, the Canada Day, July 1st and July 2nd at the Commodore Ballroom. Coming up next, let me play you some Teenage Bottle Rocket for you, a classic pop-punk band from Wyoming. They are also a Fat Track recording artist, and they will be playing with NoFX tomorrow and on Saturday. Let's start with their song, one of my favorite songs by this band, called Bigger Than Kiss. This is a song of their latest album, They Came From The Shadows, and this album came out on Fat Records back in 2009. Okay, so let's start. This is Teenage Bottle Rocket on We All Fall Down. Rockets up out of a paper bag. Gene Simmons Hello, you're listening to the radio show of We All Fall Down on 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia. And I have Ray from Teenage Bottle Rocket on the phone. Can you hear me, man?
Yes, I can. Hello, Vancouver.
Thank you so much for calling. Thank you so much for finding time to talk to me.
Not a problem.
I know that you're playing hockey right now. Is it correct?
We are in Calgary tonight.
And you were playing hockey.
Yeah. I'm going to play hockey right now. Yep.
Sorry. How was the match? Are you playing the NoFX?
Yes.
Okay, let's start. So your last studio album, They Came From The Shadows, came out about 2 years ago, and it's a great record, and it's one of my favorite albums from 2009, and that's your first release on Fat Records. How's it different for you as a band to be on this amazing record label, and is this next step for you as a band?
It's just an awesome label, and Mike supported us as far as being on tour with NoFX 3 times now, and it's a dream come true for us. The next step for the band is definitely record another record and continue touring.
Your last three albums, they were recorded at the Blasting Rooms, and usually, when I pick the record recorded at this place, that usually says produced by Bill Stevenson and Jane Livermore. How was the involvement of Bill, Jason, and Andrew in the song production process for your album?
Well, Bill was just there. He didn't actually work on the production at all. Andrew Berlin was the main engineer for the whole record. He did all the tracking. And then Jason Livermore mixed it. So we just hung out with Bill and, talked about music and hung out, watched TV while we were recording. But, yeah, it was Andrew and Jason were the main dudes. It was awesome. Great people. Great studio.
I have another question, which is, don't get me wrong, because I love pop punk, but when you actually write in a song as a songwriter, do you feel those limitations which you have from, you're playing in a pop punk band? For example, if you would like to write a reggae song, a ska song, do you feel those limitations as a songwriter?
No, not at all. We don't have any restrictions with our music. We don't have any sort of template that we follow with the songwriting. Anybody's free to bring whatever they want to the table. So, to answer your question, there's no restrictions at all. And, songs like Fatso Goes Nuts are proof of that.
Today on the show, I played my favorite track of this album, Bigger Than Kiss. And I really like this song. I think it's one of the catchiest pop-punk songs right now. Could you please tell me the history behind the song? And do you know if Paul Stanley or Gene Simmons, they actually know about the song? What's the story behind this song?
The story behind the song is Cody wrote it, the other singer of the band. Called me, sang it to me, laughed my ass off, and Kiss just sort of makes himself an easy target, Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley, I don't think they've ever heard it. We haven't got a cease and desist from them or anything, but if we did, we'd use it to our advantage. Just totally hilarious. The video turned out really funny.
Yeah, the video is really funny. You have your new release called, that's a new 7-inch, Mutilate Me. I know those songs, they were recorded during different time periods and different studio sessions. Is it a transition to the new album, or when we can actually expect the new record from Teenage Bottle Rocket?
As soon as we get the songs completely written, we're going to book the studio time. We're not going to book the studio time and then get ourselves in a pinch trying to write a bunch of songs at the last minute to fill up space. We're going to make sure that we have the album written before we book the time. So as soon as we can, people can expect the next full length. Right now we're sitting at about 8 songs.
Mm-hmm.
And Mutilate Me, we recorded Henchman by Bad Religion in August. And then we recorded Punk House of Horror and Mutilate Me. That was done in one day, but it was in October. So we split up the recording session and... I think that Mutilate Me and Punk House of Horror will make it on the next full length.
Oh, okay. You know, when I was getting ready for the interview, I read this interesting article about Tinge Bottle Rocket on Viophile. For me, it was an incredibly interesting article. I discovered that you're enjoying, you know, working, living a dual life, working in Wyoming and traveling around the world playing punk rock music. And this article tells about your experience going to Moscow and running into fans. And I was born in Russia, so that's an interesting story for me. Could you please share this experience?
Here you are. You're a Ruski.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, man. We need to make a Tinge Bottle Rocket Marushka. Yeah, it was amazing, you know. Went to Red Square, is that what it's called?
And so you actually ran into
Tomb. Lenin's Tomb, man.
So you ran into fans and they recognized you, like, on the streets, or how was it?
No, they emailed us, and then we emailed them, hey, man, we're going to be in Moscow, let's meet up and drink some vodka, and we did.
How was the vodka? How was the vodka?
Oh, the vodka's great. Love it.
You know, right now on tour with NoFX and Old Man Markley, and you're playing two sold out shows in Vancouver, and Vancouver is super excited to see those shows. And you know, you've been on tour with those bands. What are the bands you've been listening to lately? Maybe what the bands you saw live lately and you've been really excited about?
Oh, you know, lately I've been listening to the Spits a lot. I've been listening to the Ergs. I've been listening just to tons of stuff. Backline Trio, I always go back to the Ramones, listen to NoFX every night, watch them every night, it's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I don't take it for granted. That new band, Iron Sheik, they're awesome, I love that.
Yeah, I heard their album.
Quarantina band lately. Yeah, it's great, huh?
Great album.
Menzingers.
Another great album.
Love all that stuff.
Okay, thank you so much for finding time to talk to me. I let you go back to the hockey game, and we're excited to see you tomorrow and the day after at the Commodore Ballroom.
Cool, I'll see you in Vancouver, man. Come say hello.
Okay, thank you so much.
Later.
Okay, bye bye. So that was Ray from Tinge Bottle Rocket, and we had a small chat. Let me play you some NoFX songs, because they're playing, they're headlining of the show, they're headliners of the show. The shows are happening tomorrow and the day after at the Commodore Ballroom, and I'd like to play you some NoFX songs. Let's start with the song from The Ripped. We'll be right back.
changes when my nuts spin. Could it be some magic generating the mess we're in? I understand that language breeds stereotypes, but what's the explanation for the malice, for the spite? Don't call me white, don't call me white. Don't call me white, don't call me white. I wasn't brought here, I was born circumcised, had radicized allegiance sworn. Doesn't mean I have to take such shit for being 50 now. I ain't but a no conspiracy, I'm just your average Joe. Don't call me white, don't call me white. Don't call me white, don't call me white. Represents everything I hate. The salt shoved in your mouth to cleanse the mind. A vast majority of sheep, abiding collars touched and bleached, constricting veins, the blood flow to the brain flow. They're so fucking ordinary white. Don't call me white. As I can, accept responsibility for what I've done, but not for who I am. Don't call me white. Don't call me white. Don't call me white. Hello, I'm a buffalo, throw it off. Get around.
pushing all the club lamps. Then I'd be a middle ground for just anybody. We play Superman with your ordinary. Filthy, fearful, and a run. You're taking when you shouldn't give away. Filthy, feel you gave to us. We cannot repay. Filthy, feel philanthropist. You've taken when you should've give away. Filthy, feel you gave to us. We cannot repay.
so sick. I knew it wasn't Dwayne or Fletcher who put up the barricades like a stake in the heart.
Somehow we got driven apart.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the radio station CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia. We just heard a million songs by NoFX. I hope no one was disappointed at that. NoFX are playing July 1st and July 2nd. Two dates at the Commodore Ballroom. Both shows are sold out, so I decided to play some NoFX. Maybe for some people to get excited for the show. Maybe for some people still to try maybe to find some tickets, maybe on Craigslist. The last song we heard, it was a song of The War on Errorism, a separation of church and skate. It was the first track. Before that, we heard a song from Pop Up the Volume from 2000. Album came out back in 2000. Dinosaurs Will Die. Before that, it was So Long and Thanks for All the Shoes, and it was the first track, It's My Job to Keep Punk Rock Elite. Before that, we heard two songs of A Heavy Petting Zoo, the song they really do like, Philanthropist, and before that, Hubophobic, and Punk from Punk and Drublic, we heard the song Don't Call Me White, and Sticking in My Eye was before that, and I opened this block of NoFX music with Green Corn from their album Ripped. I hope NoFX fan enjoyed that and punk rock fans. So yeah, that's almost done. I have just a couple minutes left. Robin the Inkstuds, he is next after We All Fall Down. Robin the Inkstuds, a show about comics. After that, we have Japanese Music Quest, and then French Connection with Mary Eve, and then Native Solidarity News. So stay tuned to CITR, enjoy all the programming we are trying to entertain you, and hopefully you enjoying it as well. I'd like to finish up with another song by NoFX. You know, sorry for playing that much NoFX, but I think two dates, two sold out dates, and I'm going to both shows. This is my favorite band, and I think once in forever, in ever, I can try to play a little bit more NoFX than it's supposed to be. Okay, so let's start. I'd like to finish up with a song from another song of Pump Up the Volume, and this song is called Bottles to the Ground. Thank you so much for listening. If you like what you heard, you can find the podcast on CITR.ca or We All Fall Down, CITR.tumblr.com. Thank you so much for listening. This is NoFX.
When it's over, doors are closing, feel the sober, staring at you. You know you better take one last good look. One more round and it falls to the ground. Passion of the class, what a supersonic sound. Coat up on the blue man when it's time to die. Oh, whoa, 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 bottles to the ground. Sidewalk, here's some records in a milk crate. She'll be staying.
throwing whiskeys over one left.
One more round and it falls to the ground. Smash it out of fast and it perfect, perfect sound. Gonna be the vibe for when the rats are gone. Oh, whoa, 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 bottles to the ground.
One more round and it bottles to the ground. One more round and it bottles to the ground. One more round and it bottles to the ground. One more round and it bottles to the ground. One more round and it bottles to the ground. One more round and it bottles to the ground. One more round and it bottles to the ground. One more round and it bottles to the ground. One more round and it bottles to the ground. One more round and it bottles to the ground. One more round and it bottles to the ground. One more round and it bottles to the ground. One more round and it bottles to the ground. One more round and it bottles to the ground.
The Biltmore Cabaret is your home for great live music in Vancouver.
Saturday, July 9th, check out Kentucky Hard Rockers Coliseum with opening acts Spirals and Scarebrow. This is an early show with doors at 7 p.m. $10 advance tickets are available at Biltmore, Zulu, Scrape, and Scratch Records, as well as online at ticketweb.ca.
July 12th, it's a finger-licking good Toonie Tuesday with local favorites, the Shilohs. Capital Six and Time Cops will warm up the stage. Doors are at 9 p.m. and admission is $2.
Friday, July 29th, don't miss the CD release party of Vancouver's Garage Soul Phenom's Chains of Love. It's going to be like you tried to revisit the heyday of 60s girl groups, but then your time machine broke and you ended up somewhere better.
July 30th, San Francisco's Ty Seagull will bring the psychedelic party along with fellow Californians Audacity. This is an early show with doors at 8 p.m. $10 advance tickets are available at Zulu, Scratch, and Red Cat Records, as well as online at ticketweb.ca.
To learn more, visit BiltmoreCabaret.com.
Become a friend of CITR and receive great discounts at businesses around Vancouver.
Your Friends of CITR card will get you discounts on Main Street at Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear,
Woo Vintage,
The Kiss Store, Lucky's Comics, Neptune Records, Red Cat Records, The Regional Assembly of Text, RX Comics, Temple of the Modern Girl,
Flaming Angels Boutique,
and the Wallflower Modern Diner.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus, or visit us online at citr.ca.
It's only a dream, it's only a dream, it's only a dream, it's only a dream.
Power Chord, every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Something like an international fan, feeding blood to keep habits of the air of it.
Sometimes I feel like an arrow, fired at something somewhere long ago. Whether it moved or I missed where I'm bound, I don't yet know. If you see me coming, I'll probably pass you by. On my way to something, somewhere, sometime. Sometimes I find myself reeling, listening and rolling in a plastic sea. There's signs and signals bidding for attention from me. So turn on your sleigh, I will turn on mine. And we'll hum and blow like something somewhere, sometime. And if I've wounded you, I'm sorry. Had good intentions. If I wounded you,
sorry. It happens all the time. You remind me of a reason. Had my someone so many years ago. Send words through wires, build highways. It happens all the time. You remind me of a reason. Had my someone so many years ago. Send words through wires, build highways from coast to coast. But those words fell short. Your roads have worn with time. On our way to something, somewhere, sometime. And if I wounded you, I'm sorry. I had good intentions. If I wounded you, I'm sorry. 'Cause it happens all the time. Sometimes I feel like an arrow. Somewhere long ago.
You're listening to Ink Studs on CITR 101.9 FM. My guest today is Colleen Frakes. Her latest book is Island Brat, lovingly patronized by Annie Koyama. Is that the good right way to put it?
I think that's probably the best way to put it, yeah.
As well as Tragic Relief, which is, I guess, your ongoing series of mini-comics?
Yes.
And the collection The Trials of Sir Christopher, and material in a plethora of White River Junction-based anthologies. Anything I'm forgetting?
Nothing I can think of, no.
Okay. So thank you for joining me today, Colleen.
Oh, thank you.
I guess to start out with, tell me a bit about your background of choosing to move from the West Coast, pretty close to where I'm at. an island was in the Puget Sound.
Yes, South Sound. Before heading to the west or to the East Coast, though, I'd left McNeil Island to go to the Evergreen State College in Olympia.
Oh, okay.
It's a big hippie school. And being a big hippie school, I didn't really feel like I came out with any skills. So I knew I had to go to grad school. And when looking for grad schools, I'd been told to figure out who you want to learn from and then find where they're teaching. And every cartoonist that I was reading was somehow involved with the Center for Cartoon Studies. So I knew I had to head out there.
What was the, was it a BFA or a BA that you got at Evergreen?
Evergreen is, it's a liberal arts school. So I think it's, is it BA, BLA, something like that.
Okay. What was your focus in at that time? Was it art or was it something more in the humanities area?
It was accidentally comics. With Evergreen, you're not in classes, you're in year-long programs, and instead of grades, you get a multi-page narrative evaluation of your strengths and character, which can sometimes be harder than a grade. And I'd taken this class that I thought was an art class, because the name of it was Citizen Artist, but as often happens at Evergreen, it had nothing to do with its title or description. And it ended up being mostly about bookmaking. Both of the professors had come from the Fine Arts School in Chicago as book artists, and that sort of led me into an interest in bookmaking and zines and then doing mini comics.
Mm-hmm. What was some of the stuff that you were exposed to that kind of developed that interest?
We had to do a lot of bookbinding, and then